So simple, so beautiful, isn't it? You know? I don't know if it's the right thing to do or not, but brother, is the sister next to you your wife? No, the brother, the pigeon brother. That's your wife? Do you mind if you come here for a minute, sister, at the microphone? Come over, don't worry. Does she know what I'm saying, brother? Why don't you put a microphone? Did you watch her, what she was doing? What about if we try to sing that chorus once more and we'll have the sister going through the waters and so on and keep on? You like that? It was so cute. Yes. What about the organist and the sister? Would you mind to beat there the little keys? Amen. God bless them, eh? How great is our God.
Thank you, Lord.
How great is His word.
He's the greatest one that ever was there. He rolled back the wall. Once more, how great is our God, how great is His word,
amen,
true, He's the greatest one that ever was here,
amen,
He rolled back the wall. Thank you, sister. Isn't it beautiful? You know, isn't it beautiful the simplicity of the gospel? You think of this simple people can be in the rapture and a theologian can miss it. You think of that. How simple is the gospel? And I'm so thankful to the Lord. Sometimes we hear things, but we don't practice them. You know that? We don't practice them. I try to cut down my outline because I'm supposed to cover materials for communion, and I didn't know what to do. And the more I work, the more I finish all these my notes are right here, half of the page, in fact. That's all we got for tonight. So I hope the Lord will just bless us and open His Word, right? You know? You work in some things, and I used to record studies, and then I stopped, and I just probably might go back to it again to take key subjects and study them. Because when you minister, sometimes you don't want to, you're in somebody else's place, and the tapes go out, and you don't want to say anything, but you don't want to go very detailed. But there's a beautiful way sometimes to study, because the people today, I think, cannot hear. Do you know that? The people cannot hear. Something happened to their hearing, and they cannot hear the gospel. You say, is that true? Yes. And you go to the New Testament, you find out that Jesus said that some of them will not hear unless God gives them the ear to hear. That's what it is. And we go so high sometimes, we know so much, and then you got that little sister that out there and tells you, boy, come down to meet the Lord. That's what she tells you with her expressions, her songs, her life. Come down. The complicated world, the complicated preachers, the complicated this. That's why I was saying the other night, I want to find a place to move, that change my name, that nobody can find me. And then Brother Christopher, what's his name, Christopher, from one of the islands that has 2,000 residents. Yeah, Christopher says, he said, I got a place for you, brother. He says, you come and move there. I said, brother, you don't know what you're talking about. I can't jump and do it. Because it's, you know, to get up to see the stars, to see something. To see a leaf, to see something, see God in it. So simple, and yet to complicate things. The brother was asking about something, forgot his lights on, and I remember a case in a big convention, secular convention, that they gave somebody an announcement, he read the license number, he said, somebody's lights are on, you know. Nobody responded, he comes back after that, somebody's lights, please turn your lights off. Comes back again. Then after that, he realized it was his lights. try to unwind ourselves. I remember one time I told my wife I had it, and I was in Europe with my students, and the youngest one was about 24, 25, and the oldest one was about 67, 68. So there was the group, and I was responsible for the from the university to take them over to Europe. So our first stop was in Paris, and I remember we stayed at the Royal Palace there. And, you know, you don't trust the desk, especially if you're Americans. They don't like you in some places anyway. So I said, can you give us a wake-up call at 5:30 in the morning? Yes, sure, sure. I look at him. He didn't mark anything down. I wouldn't trust him, you know. So I said to myself, in the morning I got up about 4:30. I got ready, and I had a list of names, and I left columns there so I knew everybody what room they are. So I went over and started knocking doors. I'm sorry. So I went over, started knocking doors, starting from the top floor, coming down, bang, bang, bang. We are up, go on, keep on going down. I went to the second floor, and I started knocking a door, nobody answers. I said, probably one of them is dead already, you never know how many to go. So I start kicking the door, nobody answers. A man opens his door in the hallway, he says, hey, stop it. I said, I'm sorry, sir. So I go down to the desk, and I said, sir, somebody, I can't wake him up. I said, can you get the key, somebody to go in there and wake him up? He says, sure, monsieur. You know, I said, okay, we go. The guy gets the key. I found out it was my room. I was trying to wake up myself. You know, you can't get in a shape like that. You know that? You can't get in a shape. Never a dull moment with these young kids. Never a dull moment what they will ever do, you know. Do you? It went all the way on like that summer, all the way on. But I had the privilege there to see in Mainz, Germany, the Gutenberg Bible. Gutenberg wrote the Bible in 1500s. That was the first time that the Bible started circulating. And it was so good to see that here the scriptures now coming, instead of reading Latin that the people knew nothing about it, to expose the people to the truth so they can judge the truth. You know, think of it. These people, it's not only they persecute them, they didn't have any Bible. You think of that and survive. You know why? The Holy Ghost was in them. Amen. The Holy Ghost was in them. I have a verse, the scripture to read, and think of that. It's not in my text, but think of that. I was just looking at it. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. They speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. That's a good cause, isn't it? But look the results. Could it be me? Listen continually. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, as my people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. Remember, they were good Christians. The women had long hair, the men decent dressed, and everything was good, just like my people, he said. I was reading that, he says, and they hear the words, but they will not do them. That's serious, isn't it? And continuing, he says, for with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart goeth after their covetousness. What a rebuke, isn't it? It's a terrible rebuke. You think of this. He continues, and lo, thou art to them as a very lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. And they hear thy words, but they do them not. In closing, he says this, and when this come to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. This is serious, isn't it? Could it be me? If you're looking for it, it's Ezekiel 33, the last four verses. And we see that God, we pray so, will give us hearing to hear. Because sometimes simple things, we bypass them. And each one of us is responsible for his own life before the Lord. Well, I can't blame anybody. I'm here at this convention, and the honest truth is I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know. I cut here, cut there, this, butcher up everything, and I come up here, and I pray so the Lord would just take them and put them together. I was going tonight to study, make about probably 8, 9, or 10 points about self-deception. You know, we can deceive ourselves and we don't know it. You know, we can deceive ourselves. But God knows all things. And I pray so the Lord will just help us tonight. A few words that might help you. I like when I look the Old Testament and then I look the New. It makes me feel the whole thing is mine. You know, it's a feeling there that you see, here it is, the Old Testament and the New. And I was reading a portion of Scripture and I wrote, four verses, that's all the outline consists. Four verses, and I would like for us to look at them. The first one is the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, Deuteronomy 21. The first seven verses. I don't know how to call the title of this sermon. I will call it probably The Doctrine of the Washing of Hands. Have you heard of that before? The Doctrine of the Washing of Hands. Now, the Scripture tells us, if one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, he says, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him. Here's a body was found somewhere in the field. We don't know who has done it. So what the elders have to do? The elders have to get together, and the judges shall come forth and shall measure his unto the cities which are around about him that's slain. If it's slain in this field, and there's another city on the other side, they will measure which city is the closest. That was the dead body. And after they measure that, and what they will do then, they will go ahead and the elders of the city, on the fourth verse, shall bring down, he says, a heifer, and rod valley, he says, and which is neither eared nor sown, he says, and shall strike, he says, of the heifer, snake, there in the valley. Now, we see that there's an animal is going to be killed. And then he continues and tells us this, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. Now, remember, God calls to come close his own judges. The Levites was judges, you know that? They had to make decisions in the Old Testament. And these people are coming close near. And what do they do? He says, for them the Lord thy God, he says, have chosen to minister unto him and bless the name of the Lord. And he says, by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. Now we are ready for a trial. The washing of hands doctrine. We got communion tonight, the washing of feet, but here we got the washing of hands. And the elders of the city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. They are washing their hands now. And they have to say two major things. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Sometimes by washing our hands is not an excuse. We think we wash our hands, I'm not responsible anymore. I don't believe that ever the mother's heart and the daddy's heart forsakes or forgets a son or a daughter. They might hurt them deeply. They might tear them to pieces. But a son is a son. And that story of the prodigal son comes to my mind. But here it says their hands, that they, these people, they shall say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Now from this Levitical law, we go to the book of Matthew probably for a minute. And we see on the 27th chapter, Matthew 27, that there are certain things happen there. Matthew 27. We know the time has come there that Pilate had to make certain decisions. And our Lord was ready to be crucified. Do you know, when you start looking at the crucifixion of Jesus, you're wondering, I said many times, his judgment for selection of the disciples to pick up his own Judas. He knew him from the beginning, but he says, I need you. I need you because you're going to be the one to lead me to the cross. The plan of God is a mystery. We don't understand these things. Now, in the King James, when you go back to the book of Genesis, real quick, and I get out of it, when you have the case of Cain there, and you read that God put a mark on him so nobody will kill him, Septuagint says there was no mark on him. Why? God preserved him. Because he needed that son of Satan to use him later on for Calvary. The whole scripture fits together. Amen. He needed him. He says, no man shall kill him. I want to preserve that boy. I want to preserve Cain. Just stay out of it, because out of him sometime later on, I like to see Judas that's going to crucify me. But now Pilate was looking around and he started reasoning with the people there. His wife comes around. He says to him, don't bother that man Jesus. He hasn't done anything wrong, please. I'm tormented with dreams. I had it. Have you ever been tormented with dreams? And you get up, you shake yourself. Job spoke one time. He says, when I look for rest, when I try to find rest, he says, and I lay in my bed, he says, then you scare me with dreams and visions. No rest, no peace, nowhere. You know, there's a doctrine of no rest, no peace. I had a friend of mine. He was an old shoe cobbler. And I see Brother Branham and the love of God in his heart, and I saw the same thing in that man. And he was in Los Angeles on Lancashire Boulevard here in Hollywood. And every week I used to go down there, an old man about 70 years old, and just be with him alone. One time there was a Jewish lady that came in. And you know, you upset the Jew, you got a problem in your hands. And she walked in, it was a little counter type of a thing. That little counter there was a little register there. Jack was sitting there preparing shoes. The whole Hollywood knew Jack. Marilyn Monroe used to go there, close the door, says, "Jack, let's pray." Frank Sinatra used to go down there. All the Hollywood people used to go at the time of need. One of the best surgeons in North Hollywood, he won't enter the surgery room, heart, brain surgeon, without $15,000 apiece. Used to brown sack at lunch, go in, close the door, "Jack, read the scriptures." Because the man had something. I had his Bible at home in my desk. And that Jewish lady came in and gave something to Jack to pick up some shoes, and she dropped her money down. A Jew to drop their money, must be something wrong with them, but dropped their money down because the first Wall Street, you know what's in the Old Testament? The golden calf. That's where it started. So she dropped her money down, left. Another guy came in, picked up the money, put it in his pocket. About an hour later, that lady comes in. He says, "Jack, you're a thief." Start cussing him off, California style. "Let me have it." Jack says, "God bless you." He says, "Here's my cash register. Take everything." He didn't care in this world. He gave everything. He didn't have to worry about anything. So the lady said, "I don't want anything. I want my money." He says, "Well, how much it was might be in there, so you take this money, it's all right." "No, I want my money." I was arguing. And she said, "I'm going to sit right here until you give me my money." So Jack went over and sat in his place and started hammering nails on the shoes. He says, "Lord, no rest, no peace. No rest, no peace." Later on, a young man walks in with some money. He says, "Jack, I have no rest, no peace." And he led that Jew to their knees. Got saved. Simple gospel, am I right? I took Jack another time. I said, "Jack, you should take a couple of weeks vacation." He used to go to Malibu Beach, right below Topanga Canyon there. Used to take him right there. We sit together and pray and talk and cry. And I took him to the motel. The motel has its own swimming pool right at the beach. The highway's on the other side and the big homes there. Jack sit there. So I helped him to unload. I took him down there. So he said, "Let's go over and sit down and talk." He had a parrot with him. The parrot belonged to his teenage son. The teenage son went the wrong way. And the teenage son tried to teach him cuss words, bad words. But the parrot wouldn't do anything. So I was sitting in the living room before that, a week or something before that. And that teenager takes that bird in the big cage, throws it in the middle of the living room. The mother was dead, Jack's wife. Water all over the place, seats all over the place and everything else. He cussed the bird and walked out. I see Jack pick up the bird. He says, "God bless you, pal." The bird says, "God bless you." God works, you know, in mysterious ways. You see, by the scripture, he spoke through a donkey one time. So I took Jack down to the Topanga Canyon. It was the Las Tunas Motel, a large motel. So he says, Jack, let's go and sit down by the pool area there. It's quiet. And a young lady comes in there, probably might have been better if she was naked, a two-piece bathing suit, walk around. And that parrot does like that. She got after Jack, dirty old man, bang, 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 bang. I was just sitting there. I didn't want to say anything. He got the blame. So I was sitting there, and the bird whistles again. So she looked, was the bird. She says, "What is that?" He says, "Unfortunately, lady, he serves two masters." And you know why? Through that bird, he led her to her knees and got saved right in the swimming pool. We need a little more like that, don't we? To see the simplicity of the gospel to reach the lost. That simplicity. I have seen miracles with Jack. When I'm telling you miracles, I'm talking about miracles happening all the time. You see, we don't wash our hands to run away. Because by washing our hands, the problem stays with us. And Pilate now, after he decides to get away from it, on the 24th verse of the 27th chapter, he says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail, but rather he says, he make a decision. He took some water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." You see, the scripture says that if you haven't seen it, and Jesus was right in the front of you, how you can do that? Sometimes we take scriptures and twist them around to suit our way. I didn't do it. There, they did it. Eve did it. Pass the buck right away. Quite often, we'll have to learn a little lesson to stop and say, "Lord, there are circumstances that I cannot get out of it." In my heart, I say, "I wish if I can get out of the convention." After I said yes, but the Lord wants you to do something, you do it. That's what it is. We live for Him. So with all the commotion there that was going on, we see the time of the crucifixion, and the people answered, and they said what they said, "His blood be on us and our children." Brother Branham said, that is the fatal mistake in the Daniel series that Israel have done. You see, when you deny the blood, there's no repentance. Do you know that? God gives repentance in Romans 2. And he says, it's the goodness of God, like I brought Christodis, the Christ nature of God that leads you to repentance. But you see, God cannot lead you to repentance, or though his law says no, unless there's somewhere the repentance can lead you to. There has to be a blood somewhere, because without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. What good will do for you the repentance when you don't have a place to go for the forgiveness? Repentance is just an activity that convicts you of the state that you are. Do you think you understand it? No. You cannot analyze your sins. The only thing you know, you feel terrible. And you keep on going like drunk until you kneel down probably in your bed and says, "Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus." And what happened? He wipes all your sins away because you didn't have to take him a grocery list and say, "Lord, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, forgive me for that." Because I have to make another grocery list next day. Because I cannot write everything down. And then I will start thinking about it. He says, "Should I write this down or not? That's pretty bad." But he forgives you from all your sins. Like I have mentioned many times, the strange part is this, that he doesn't remember them anymore. Because he's God and can't do it. I can forgive you if you punch me in the nose, but I remember it. Shake your hand, I know you, one day you punch me. But God forgives you. You come to the altar, he says, "Lord, I want to make sure, I want you to forgive me, you know. God can speak to you with a loud voice. If it was like that, he'll say, I just don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about because I forgive the sins already. And I don't remember anything you have done. I wipe them out with my blood. That's a foundation in Christianity that I can stand. And we have to watch. What we do tonight, we are confessing. It's a type of the blood. We have to watch ourselves how we treat the blood. Sometimes we take it like nothing. And even if you got literally 3 drops of the blood of Jesus, it won't help you. Because it's your faith for the finished work of Calvary. That life came back in you. You see, I had a man one time came to the church and he says, Brother David, I'm ready to go for the rapture. I says, God bless you. He says, it's right here. I says, what's right here? A tape. It's right here. I look at him, he says, what will do the rapture? He says, that it's right here. They cannot go nowhere until I go with it. So you have to back off and you say, well, I'm not going to argue with ignorance. Just leave it alone. The only thing you do, you upset yourself. Do you know that? That's all you do. So now everything was going on and things happening all around. But there were some people there in the sight there of the things that happened. And we read in the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter, listen to this, the 23rd chapter. And if you go to the 48th and 49th verse, we read this. And all the people that came together in that side, he says, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And listen to this. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. When there are things done to the blood of Jesus, stay away from it. Did you see what the believers have done? They stood far off. This is serious crimes committed not to Jesus. And these people back off. And they were watching. With other words, we are not one of them. But we're confessing our Savior is redeeming the lost race. It's a beautiful thing to start looking at the Gospels, looking at the Old Testament. Now these Jews, what they have done, we read that they kill him. Really, my sins and your sins kill him. They were only the physical instruments. But the believers, they were watching what they have done to him. I'm wondering if God reveals to me and to you, What are we doing to him today? We don't realize it, but if we have the revelation of ourselves before the throne of judgment, we'll be screaming. The brothers sing this morning, I think, he can call 10,000 angels. He can't do it. But he came to die. You see, when you study about the incarnation of Jesus, you can't help it from crying and weeping. You cannot hold it. It takes you. And we know that these people were waiting, looking on the other side. But at the same time, we know this, that the people that were close there, they start doing bad things to Jesus. I want you to see the line of separation there. Never deny the blood of the cross. If you do, you have no place to go. That's all. The Jews said, let this, the blood of this man rest upon us and our children. They ignore the law. They ignore everything. The law tells them this. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein, he says, for blood defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. They did it. God was watching it. God permitted it to provide redemption. But remember, they were watching it. And they did it. Defile not therefore the land which ye have inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. They went ahead and did what they wanted to do. God wrote down in his book the verdict. But they went ahead and did it. They ignored what God said. Is it possible sometimes to come to the communion table? And we are the ones that are causing the problem. Because I'm getting to a couple of points in the communion. Is it possible for you to look at it and me, and I can be so blinded that I cannot see the big statement of communion? You know what it is? Examine thyself. The deacon, the pastor, the visitor, nobody has anything to do with it. Examine thyself. You take that word, examine thyself, and you take it back to the Gospel of John, the 17:18, you know, when the Holy Ghost comes, will reprove the world from sin. That word is elenho, like customs. You go with your suitcase, they look at you, they look at your passport, open the suitcase. He goes through everything. Examines everything, right? Make sure that there's nothing in there that is against the law. And the Holy Ghost tells me and you to examine ourselves, make sure there's no bitterness, no strife. The customs of Jesus Christ start searching in your soul. And he says, now listen, is that what I want you to be? Is that what I want you to do? So after he describes this cup is this and this, so then goes to the individual. He says, examine yourself. Now, you might not have heard that before, but sometimes you and I can be sick because we don't take a communion and we're not worthy. That's the reason, Paul says, that there are many sick and afflicted among you and they die. He gives us the recipe, right? We're drinking poison. And he says, I'm going to drink that poison, I don't care what happens. And he said, examine yourself. And you start examining yourself and you look there, you have three elements there. The knowledge of wrong. God reveals it. To recognize that there's a fountain, I don't care what the rest of the world is going to say, there's a fountain for you to be forgiven. And the last thing, the third thing is the power that gives you by being forgiven. You feel like flying in the sky, moving all around. Communion is not a toy. And now he says, examine yourself. Now, there's a beautiful thing there that I would like for us to look the next few minutes. If communion was standing here, and we say, Brother David, this is the communion table. The communion table is right in the front right here. You say, who is perfect among these people? Come and take communion. I wouldn't walk there. I'd drop dead. By his grace, yes. But by my righteousness, never. But there's something there. He says, whosoever eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. But the scripture there on the examine yourself, and let him examine himself, he says. Now we see here that the bread is there, and whosoever, he says, without is unworthy. You say, Brother David, I'm going to go to my knees and try to repent and try to do something. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. What I'm supposed to do? The first thing you say, I'm going to shake myself. Praise God. Lord, forgive me. Amen. Everything's all right now. When you finish the whole fit that you went through, then you realize you didn't accomplish anything. Right? But he says there, unworthily, anaxios. Axia is the price. Anaxios is without the price of the cross. Without the price that he paid to deliver you, if you go by your own righteousness, you got problems. Isn't it beautiful? He tells you what to do. He makes the provision. He does everything. And everything, he does everything for you. He tells you, now, don't worry about it. I know you're a mess. I know you have done this, you have done that. I know you fail me. But watch at your sacrifice. Don't watch at yourself. That's what makes you worthy. I love it, don't you? Think of it, having communion here. You start lining up. The first one drops dead. The next one drops dead. The next one drops dead. But you see through the blood, that anaxios, the axia, the price that he paid. With other words, don't go to the table without recognizing the price that he paid for you. Isn't it beautiful? Nice, eh? Just right there. What I have to do to recognize, Lord, it's not me, it's you. Lord, I'm standing on the side of the fence, that's the blood, that don't abuse you. I know I fail you, and I know you forgive me. You see, the reason that you have the blood of the sacrifice there, you know what it is? For sins and transgressions. You think of that. You get sick, you go to the doctor, gives you a prescription or something, you go and fill it up. The prescription of Jesus with the blood stays there all the time. And when the scriptures start going into it, then he comes later on. He says this, for if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Self-judgment. You remember, judgment is not a show. People think sometimes, now, I'm going to stand up in the church and tell them I did this, I did that, and did this, and did that. Just sit down. Don't worry. Don't give room to the devil to make a show out of it. Sins and transgressions are not to be a show. I have seen sometimes meetings years ago. They pick up a poor young lady. He says, tell them now what God saved you from. That's not right, is it? If you see the scripture, he says, judge yourself. I judge myself and the Lord saved me. The Lord forgive my sins. I don't make a show out of it. It's the blood of the cross that does it. So he says, now, judge yourself, and this is how he does it. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. I like these two verses here. We're talking about communion a little bit before we take communion. It's a big encouragement to know that without the price, anaxios, you say, Lord, I got a price. What is the price? The blood of the cross. My faith rests upon that. But I played 50 tapes last week. Praise God, I did my religion. That doesn't help you. You need the blood. But Lord, I have done this and this and that. You need the blood. The blood stands all the time. It's right there. And what happens? Something pulls you. I was reading that this afternoon, and I remember a long time ago, the 31st verse especially, of 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, the 31st verse, I was reading it. When we judge ourselves, we are pronouncing a verdict to ourselves. We say, David Mamelis, you are no good. That's it. Sometimes, most of the times at the church, what I do when we have communion, we don't have a sermon being preached. Do you know that? What do? We go an hour before and kneel down and pray with one objective. Examine yourself. The pastor cannot examine you. Nobody can examine you. Examine yourself. So I'm not responsible either. Makes me feel good. But now when the judgment starts, there's a reason for that judgment. The judgment that you judge yourself, that you won't be judged, when you are judged, he says, you are chastened of the Lord. The 32nd verse. You see, Brother David, what's happening? Pedevome. Pedi is a child. Pedevome is like a child. God now gives you discipline. He might spank you. I love that. But remember, you are always a son and a daughter now. He says, Pedevo. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm going to take the belt on you now. Isn't it beautiful? That word there, combined that word, he says, Pedevometha, pedis, the child. So he's already now part of the family there. So Jehovah the Father sends his Spirit now start dealing with us, convicting us. This is wrong. You shouldn't do that. And what happened? Like a little child, he started dealing with us again, until he bring us to the level to realize that we got a pretty bad spank this time. Let's behave next time. And now, when he starts speaking about Pedevometha, he says, we will not be judged with the world. With other words, his process of judgment makes you an escape from wrath and hell. So now you look at it and says, Lord, go back with your mind. Don't let the devil beat you up either. Lord, I have done this, I have done. You know how many people who dwell in their past and they are so beat up? Don't dwell in your past. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did that. Go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. The blood is there and leave it alone. Because if you don't, the devil takes from there and beats you up. Try to make you super religious but beat you up. What God cleansed by the blood is finished. You say, Lord, if I do anything wrong, tell me. He says, I got the Holy Ghost, I will convict you. That's what it's for. We translate the Holy Ghost by the volume of noise. A man said to me now, he says, if they don't scream, they don't shout, I know they don't have it. I says, fine. If that's what you want, have it. But I have rather see repentance at any time. At any time. So now I look at myself, you look at yourself. So we're going to be judged in ourselves. The first thing you know, to be judged, you have to know the case. Right? You look at yourself, you'll never tell yourself you're wrong. You're the best person. You measure yourself with a rubber band. Anytime you want to stretch it, you stretch it. Anytime you want to let it like that, you let it like that. Rubber band measurements. But God now, He's Christ-like, start generating repentance for you. The theologians try to take metano, what's metano, change of the mind, and they go on and on and on until they go so far off it doesn't even mean that. But you know what I like to see in the bottom line of it, somebody to define? He says, true repentance is godly sorrow. And just leave it alone. And there he says, God gives you repentance not to be repented. Do you remember that verse in Corinthians? Not to be repented. And when I studied that, I shouted. I got up from my chair. I feel sometimes getting up on my desk. I'm alone to do a dance. Why not? I feel good. Not to be repented. I was studying that word. That is a metameliton. Melon is a future. No future is going to change it. When God gives you godly sorrow, he provides the blood. He's not going to not change his mind later on. He says, listen, I'm sorry, Betty Jones, that I forgive you. I changed my mind. You see how he works his covenant for you and I? He's not going to go on the other side and says, now listen. He says, I changed my mind. You know, I pull out. You're alone. No. God doesn't do that to his sons and daughters. He deals with them. He might take time and a long time, but God deals with them. God deals with me. And now we're approaching that communion table. Just judge yourself. Lord, help me. And you know, people expect from the sky to come a big voice. Betty, you're wrong. It's a little teeny inside that tells you that you're wrong. And sometimes we brush it off. We say, well, that's nothing. He did it. She did it. But you see, let's look ourselves tonight at the communion table. And say, it's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I was telling a ministry. He said to me, Brother David, I went over to his church. He said to me, I just died to see a big revival here. I said, what do you want a revival, brother? He said, I'd like to see everybody get up and dance in the Spirit and everybody to have such a great time. I said, fine. I said, I cannot do it. He said to me, why are you going to do it? I said, I don't know how to stimulate their flesh. I don't know how to do it. But how many revivals that the meeting starts and there's a weeping down. You don't have to look at anybody. Everything closes up. Disappears. The only thing that's left, it's me, Lord. I want to stand in that great day before you. It's me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It's me. I'm a mess. When God reveals it to you, you know what you are. When you look at yourself, it's far away from knowing. Now God says to do this, examine yourself. You go through the suitcase of your soul, he says, this is illegal. I got a magazine that's not good for the Lord. That's illegal. I watch sometimes through the customs how you try to come with the suitcases and our officer comes around with a dog smelling. You see, sometimes it smells. If the dog barks, you're in trouble. One time I remember, I was coming from Europe to New York. TWA have their own customs there. And my connecting flight to Phoenix, the non-stop flight, is start getting close. And the luggage just haven't come in yet, the 747. And I look at this line and everything. So I picked up the phone. I called the ambassador club upstairs. He says, I'm an ambassador member. I said, I don't know what to do my plane. So they send one of these little choo-choo cards. And says, yeah, you. I said, yes, what's your problem? I said, my luggage hasn't showed up yet. My flight's ready to leave. He says, leave them here. Don't worry. I said, what do you mean leave them here? He says, don't worry. You have anything to worry about? I says, no. He says, nobody's going to touch them inside the customs. I says, I'll tell you what to do. Now, remember, this person works for the airlines. Leave your suitcases in there and go to Phoenix and make a claim for lost luggages, and they'll bring them home. I said, you bright kid. So I go to Phoenix. I went to the plane, came to Phoenix, no luggage. My wife says, you going down to the luggage? She says, no. I said, they're in New York. What are they doing in New York? I said, I have to make a claim of a lost luggage. So the next day, they bring them at home with a limousine with a letter of apology for the inconvenience. But they dog them, they x-ray them. There was nothing to be guilty about, correct? And the formula is, when you cross that customs, I don't care if a person that's 99 years old and ready to fall apart like that, he says, honey, hold this plea for me. Don't hold nothing for anybody because you don't know what's in there. Right? You don't hold anybody's sins, anybody's bags. You tell them, go to Calvary. Now let's start the self-examination from inside. That Holy Spirit, when comes sin, start digging on me. And I tell you, there are times I never forgot meetings that went over with Brother Branham and I want to get a seat to get in, but I went to the restrooms and I sit there and I cry and I cry and I cry. I said, Lord, I said everything I want to say to you. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I'm going to the meeting. I don't want to be guilty. These times are gone, but the blood hasn't changed. The demands haven't changed. A woman said to me one time, she said to me, did you go with Brother Branham? I said, yes. Aren't you afraid? I said, what for? He says, he knows everything about you. I said, I'm going to face it one day anyway. Might as well face it here. What's the problem? Correct? You know, God can provide means to help us. And we don't even want it. So now we are approaching communion. You say, Brother David, communion is such a great thing. We're closing in a couple of 3 minutes. When you start looking at communion, you cannot get away from a couple of 3 marks that's in John 6. You can't get away. It's right there. He speaks about the living bread before. And then on the 53rd verses, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his cup, his blood, ye have no life in you. We're talking about now his flesh. We have to eat his flesh. And you come here, it's bread. What is his flesh? His word. Correct? When you come to take communion, you are confessing that I have been eating from that word. I'm not talking about commercials. Eating from the word, that's another level. That word becomes life in me. That word tears me apart. That word works me over. And I want to tell you something, brother. Not only eating from that flesh, but drinking from that the life of the Word. That's the blood. You know the Spirit, what happens, makes that Word alive. And it's not a formality anymore. You don't worry about it. Because it's the bread, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God upon that Word. And you confess that you're eating from that, the Word of God. And I crucify Christ through his word. So it's not a ceremony. It's a type. It's a type that I'm going there and I say, now, Lord, would you help me? I need that. You know, always before you come to the communion table or tonight, says, Lord, I don't want to go there without the price of the cross. I want the blood of the cross to cover me up. Correct? Lord, I don't want any damnation to my soul. Lord, I mean it. I fail you. Yes, I'm a bad boy. But I'm resting on the price that you pay on the cross. What a privilege, isn't it? He tells you to examine yourself. Provide the means how to do it. He rebukes you. He restores you. He beats you up like a son and a daughter. And he counts nothing against you, just reproving you. We don't even have a concept. Eating from the Word of God. And drinking the cup that's a symbol that makes that Word alive. We don't even know what it means. But hold always the sacrifice of the blood. Hold it. He says, Lord, I don't care how good I feel I am. I'm not going to go close to that place without the price. Because you know the devil can deceive you. Tell you you're okay. And Lord, I'm going with the blood. And if I fail you, please show me and give me the strength to do it. That's the gospel we have. I got into that sermon. My notes are finished. But I hope you got something. That power of the blood. The blood of the cross. To be dead in Him. Be crucified with Christ. I did extreme things in my life. When God was showing me Romans 6 to be crucified with Christ, to be dead, He says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And I went out in the land, and I look at the flower. And I just trace it with my eyes going down. I look at the ground as far I can see. Right below there was a little seed probably produced that flower. Nothing to brag about. He produced the life, but never took the credit. Amen. I'm wondering if you and I can be buried in Jesus in a way that we exalt Christ and nothing else. Not I did it. Nobody has done anything. I said, Lord, what it means to be dead? I don't understand it, Lord. So I got up, I got dressed, got in my car, I went down to the mortuary. I walked in, the man said in the door, he says, may I help you? I says, I'm looking for something. He's looking for something. I keep on going. I went in, a dead man was there, laying on the coffin, you know. I said, hey, what are you doing here? I never got an answer. He was dead. I said, you're a terrible man. He never answered me. You know something? We miss you. Never answer. I says, Lord, wouldn't it be beautiful to be dead to the world, the things of the world, in the level that Christ lives in me in the fullness? Extreme things. But we learn, right? We don't understand these things sometimes. They are simple. Because of their simplicity and our complex mind, we don't see what God is doing. See, we don't see that a sinner is getting ready to get saved. We come to church sometimes, and a young boy and a young girl, the Lord deals with them. And that young lady probably starts studying the Word, and the Holy Spirit deals with her and deals with her. Until the time she can't take it anymore. She said, I don't know what I need. I'm just going to go in the front. If they don't pray for me, I'm going to go anyway. The rest of them look at her and say, I knew there was something wrong with her. I knew there was something wrong with her. Instead of having a revival, beating the tambourine with the angels together and a soul, is going to be saved. What happened? The people is missing something. I hope we start as individuals. Read the scriptures. It's me, Lord. Lord, I will examine myself. Lord, forgive me to look upon another person because I'm violating your law right now. I'm supposed to look and examine myself. You say, let me see if she's going to take communion. I know about her. Have you ever seen that happen? Probably you and I have done it. We don't realize. Let me see. If he's going to take communion, he's no good. I know that. Do you know what you do at the time? You deny yourself from communion because the scripture told you, you examine yourself. Didn't give you any right to go to anybody else or browse around to see who's doing what. That's between them and the Lord. Probably they have the price. It's, Lord, I fail you. I know it. And God says he's going to, like children, going to take care of them. If we can see these things, simple tonight. I don't get to any doctrine, simple. So Lord, if we can get a hold of that, I have the price. I have the blood. And I know, Lord, you're going to forgive me. Please, Lord, help me. People are frustrated. You go around the country, the states, sometimes in different parts of the world, and people have a terrible time to break through. Their life, their past comes back into them. They don't know how to go to the scripture. It says, listen, this is over. He doesn't remember it anymore. Well, but I remember it, so what? Don't make God a liar. If you want to remember it, remember. The devil is going to beat you up. God says he doesn't remember it, so leave it alone. Now, the people can remember it. I know about her. Anyway, I know what she did. You know, probably she can be saved and you can be lost. Because she has the price. She's getting closer to that. So tonight, when we take communion, think about these things. Do you hold the price as an individual? Or are you looking to yourself? Are you looking to the sacrifice of the cross, or are you looking to yourself? You're looking to yourself, you're in trouble when you start. How many times Brother Branham said, look at your sacrifice, don't look at yourself. Look at your sacrifice, don't look at yourself. You say, Brother David, I'm condemned. That's what you need a sacrifice for. Lord, forgive me. You see, we write a list of ceremonies we have to do. Lord, if you forgive me, I get up tomorrow morning and I will read that chapter and I'll do this and I'll do that. Why don't you throw away your grocery list and go to him and says, Lord, I'm yours. Forgive me. I don't want to be a blemish to anything. I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to be partaker to confess that I'm reading the Word and the Word is alive in my soul. Do you fail? Yes, I fail. But that's what I want to do tonight. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray, okay? Lord Jesus, as Brother Cyril comes, Lord, God of heaven, we have one price. That's the cross. You pay the price for every sinner. Lord, the devil many times beats us up. Beat me up, I know that much at least. But Lord, we come before you and ask forgiveness. Lord, help us. We're examining ourselves, Lord. You said you're going to treat us as children. God of heaven, he says, pedevo, like children. Lord, help us this night. When we look, Lord, at ourselves, nothing to hinder us from taking communion. But say, Lord, by faith on the blood of the cross, by faith on my sacrifice, I take that communion. And I know my failures, but you'll correct me. You'll give me strength to go on because you promised it. Bless your people, Lord. Each one here. Lord, I'm in a place I don't even know what I'm here for, Lord. But please, Lord. Lord, please, Lord. Help each one of us here. Help us, Lord, just scratch out of our minds anything past. look forward to the things that are ahead. We love you, Lord. Appreciate what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Searle.